KJ4CTD, W4DJW. Good morning, Wyatt.
Rear DX for me, KJ4CTD mobile.
Say that again.
Rear DX station for you.
That's true. You're not on here near as often as you used to be. So I got this RTL SDR dongle running on a Raspberry Pi listening. I'm going to switch it over to our frequency we're on right now and see if I can hear you on the RTL SDR. It might not because the antenna, it might not work because the antenna is just a little small antenna inside the shack here. But I'm going to switch it over and then get you to key up and see if I can hear you. You got time for that? Are you in transit somewhere?
Going cross county and then down to Donaldson. So I got at least another half hour.
Okay, well, I'll consume your time while you're on the road temporarily. I got to kill so it's tuned to 102.5 right now, and it's picking it up like gangbusters on this little 2-meter whip that I measured with the MFJ SWR meter, and it's nowhere close for transmit, but it picks up okay. So I'm going to see if it can receive on this frequency. Right now it's picking up on 102.5. Really, really good. You know what that is?
And the last time I had an RTL set up that way, it picked up really well. By the way, since we're talking SDRs and you're switching things around and you can listen to me, you ought to check out the Kraken SDR. I think it's 8 RTL SDRs all on one board, synchronized.
Okay, well, I'm building the command line as we speak. So, what I'm looking for is low cost, high quantity that are separatable, right? That I can disperse into different locations real easily to have a whole bunch of them. So the $20 RTL SDR is kind of ideal for that. You know something better? I've been looking for a single board FM receiver. Like I found some that are $8, but they are limited to 80 megahertz through 108 megahertz or something strange like that. They won't go up to 2 meters. You know of anything, single board FM receivers that are plentiful? I mean, they cost less than $10 a pop.
I'm not. And the only reason I mentioned the Kraken, and it is not a $10 board by any stretch of the imagination, is this actually set up for direction finding. You know, pop one up in a spot, get some log periodics on it, and let it go to tail. Or actually, even on the antennas. But, sorry, I was thinking along the lines of something completely and utterly different for a project I was working on at one point.
So what makes it DR, or direction finding, DF, what's special about it? And how do you spell the Kraken?
K-R-A-K-E-N-S-D-R. And it's on one of the crowdfunding sites. It's not Kickstarter. It's one of the other ones. But they're all time synchronized. So, you know, one GPS and all of the RTLs are all synchronized together. And they're phase coded.
Is this rotating, and I'm looking at it right now, on Crowd Supply is the name of it. Yeah, and it costs you a half a K to get in. Yeah, so, no, they've raised a half a million is what it looks like. They've raised close to half a million, and it costs you available pre-order $299. That's not too bad. Is this? But it's got 5 antennas. 5. SMA mounts. Is this kind of like they're rotating electronically between those 5?
I don't really know because I haven't really looked at it in detail because I think it's $300 and up. $300 gets you the bare boards. And I don't know if that includes the RTL modules that go on it. Don't have it in front of me. Can't look while driving. And yes, I guess you could say it's I think they actually receive all the time, and then just the software looks at the RSI coming from each of the antennas, each of the radios.
So that is very interesting. I'm going to read through that to see what that is. And I'm not picking you up on my RTL SDR. I'm going to have to go with an outside antenna. And I do have another one that has an outside antenna that I can, but it takes me a minute to switch over. But you might be available while I'm doing that. But that's pretty interesting. I don't see any I don't see a place to attach dongles. Number five is a R80 820T2 tuner. So it looks like the dongles are on the board. Is that not? Am I not interpreting this correctly?
Thinking about one of the other ones because I have so many things I've looked at because I was looking at building an over-the-air monitor, not.
Well, you know, you can't get those Ramsey kits anymore for the rotating antennas. So if this does the same thing, this would be a great replacement for it because it's probably higher quality than the Ramsey kits. I don't know if you've looked for Ramsey recently, but I've looked for all kinds of Ramsey kits, and they're so rare now, they're like a collector's item, so they cost 10, you know, like 100 times what they cost when they came out. Anyway, I'm going to switch over to an outside antenna and see if I can pick you up on that dongle on the next or while you're transmitting the next time. W4DJW.
JJ4, CTD Mobile. Concentration, so that's train pulled out of the station without me.
Okay, I'm on an external antenna now. I got two RTL SDRs. One is the Noelect, the one that I got when you first told me about them, like 100,000 years ago. And it's so beat up, the shell won't even stay on it anymore. It's just a USB plug on a PC board. There's no outer shell. And then I got one of those that has the little aluminum case on it, and it's connected to the outside antenna. So I think maybe I'll have to check on that. Anyway, I'm going to listen on your next transmission. I just got it plugged in, and I got it running. You have to kill the command line and restart it every time. So we'll see if it picks you up on this go-around. W4DJW.
Well, you know, I still have that other board that I bought, and it still works, but it doesn't work well with the Raspberry Pi because it wants a full-fledged USB 3 connection. And the Pi 4, even the Pi 4 cannot keep up with everything else I have running on the board that I have to have running on the board. And I'm totally drawing a blank on what that board is. It's one of the ones I bought after the new electric. And mine is completely dead. Right? It died several years ago. It kind of totally fell apart. Antenna broke. I had been using that for ADS-B, which worked well. But, you know, they have newer ones that are significantly better quality. KJ4 CTD.
So that didn't work. I got to take it back to 102.5 and make sure that outside antenna is still connected because I don't get any sound out of that one at all. But I hate to hear your other one broke. You know, have you tried to buy a Raspberry Pi recently? They're saying now they're not going to be available again until 2023.
Yeah, I did look and went, darn. So I was looking at the CM4s, because there are a couple of things that I would love to be able to do with a CM4, but none of the carrier boards actually do what I need it to do. They all want to make them into routers or things with modern connections. And I really don't want to have to get a carrier board and then slap in a whole bunch of USB to serial, 232 serial, and other things that I have to adapt to. I'd rather just have wire connectors that I can just plug straight into the board and just get straight to the TX, RX, IO, KJ4, CTD level.
Okay, well, while you were talking, I switched it over to 102.5 and it played just fine, which means it's connected to an outside antenna. Then I bumped it up from 102.5 to 146.61. And I'm using, like, exponential notation, E6, after the frequency. So 146.61E6 means scientific notation six places past the decimal. And it's I can see on the slider for the audio for that, it's on the fourth input, because I just plugged the Pi into the mixer board, and the mixer board is on the fourth input. And I can see it going up and down while you're talking, but when I mute the one that you're coming in on so that I can listen to that one, I hear nothing. So I got some more work to do. Anyway, at least I can see it going up and down. I can see the volume going up and down. I just can't hear it. But I can hear 102.5 play. Maybe it's because their audio is so much louder.
That's strange and bizarre. Double check that they haven't, you know, put in a block on certain frequencies or something. I mean, they shouldn't have, but you never know. Might be a firmware issue.
Yeah, because I went all the way up to 16, before you came online, I went all the way up to 162.55, which is the NOAA weather. And it's really loud, and nothing, absolutely nothing. So you think the software's got a block on those frequencies? Oh, I didn't think so. I thought this thing would go from like 50 hertz to over 2,000, 2 gigahertz, no? I don't want a big old GUI on the screen. I don't want to have, I want it all to, when the Pi starts up, it starts listening on a frequency, and it just records when it hears something and stops. I don't want GNU radio or any of that heavy, heavy QT or any of that heavy, heavy stuff. So this is just, I'm just running the RTL _FM command line, and I'm passing it parameters, like F is the frequency, S is this signal, is the rate, well, R is the rate, I forget what S is, and G is the gain, and then I'm just piping that into A-Play, and A-Play is set up for PCM out, which is the first slider, which is that plug that's on the side of the Raspberry Pi. And I just have that plug on the side of the Raspberry Pi plugged into the in slot number 4 so I can control its volume level. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And RTL FM does not, to my knowledge, have any frequency blocks at all. It's wide open by design. So unless there's something on the actual hardware firmware that's causing it, I don't know. I'd have to have it in front of me and start looking at it.
The sampling rate is 200,000 samples per second. 200,000. Maybe I got the sample. Maybe I've got to change the sampling rate. Well, rate is 4,800. Samples are 200,000. Maybe that's it. I just got that command line from something I Googled. Some guy. Well, the author. The author has this really ugly HTML page, but he tells everything you want to know about it. So there's a ton of stuff to read. But I copied a few examples of his and got it working on wideband FM. Now I got to get it working on, maybe that's it. Maybe I got to switch it from wideband FM to narrowband FM. That could be the problem. W4DJW. Anyway, I'm getting there. Plug away. One little bite at a time. That's how you eat an elephant, right?
Oh, I remember the other dream I thought I had about the Ramsey. I have one of those Ramseys, like Generation 1, which worked okay. It didn't work great, but it did work okay. And never upgraded. But I have been looking at that Kraken because it's an idea that's interesting and, you know, would work well in certain locations.
And that's a little tiny. Yeah, I had the Ramsey 1 too. I think I had the version 2 of Ramsey. And I still have it. It's up in the attic. And Johnny made me some better Hershey's Kiss antennas for it. So it would work. But it worked really well in a controlled environment. There were too many reflections for it to work really well in an uncontrolled environment. In other words, too many things for the signal to bounce off of. So it gave you false positives all over the scale. Did you have that problem with yours?
That's one of the things, that's one of the reasons why I was looking at setting it up with some log periodics for the, it's strictly for receive. You don't need them massive for, because you're not not transmitting, you're just going to receive. And log periodics do help a lot with the reflection, especially when you got a bunch of them.
You're going to put like half a dozen log periodics up, like on something that's mobile? That seems like a lot of antenna.
Application, because mine was doing over the air signal quality, but they've last I heard they decided to pull the equipment out, so there's no need to do it.
Okay, so fixed location, have I get it? So multiple fixed locations, and then having crossing vectors from those multiple fixed locations, that's a good idea. You could even use folded dipoles for that, couldn't you?
And, if you use APRS actually has a DF message packet, and then you can see it over APRS, whether you put it on the national APRS, which I wouldn't do, or put it on your own frequency.
I didn't think about doing that. I was wondering about how to get the publish-subscribe message exchange pattern working. That, you could use APRS for that. Each one of the APRS nodes would publish, and you'd have a central subscriber that compiles all the data. That's a fantastic idea, Wyatt. I'm glad you keyed up your mic this morning.
All this research, I mean, this is old research, but there's nothing wrong, nothing that says it shouldn't still work. I did all this research back in, like, 2010. But, yeah, and I actually had it working for a little while, and then everybody lost it. A few people I had doing it, just they totally lost interest, and I'm like, okay, well, nobody cares anymore, so I'm just going to, tuck this away into my member bank somewhere and be done with it. Oh, speaking of which, why I have you, what is this mini field day that y'all talked about at the meeting that I didn't show up to? KJ4CTT Mobile.
So we want to get that started again. We realize that it's not going to be really easy to get everything, after COVID shut everything down. Now we want to get everything going again. And we realize it's not going to be easy because people have commitments to other things. So you got to kind of get it rolling. So the idea with that was set one up. Just pick a date. Set one up. See how many people will commit. If you get a dozen people to commit, go ahead and do it. And if you can't get a dozen people to commit, try it again at a later date. That's all that is.
I'm going to warn you that the last weekend of this month is a horrible time to do it. You have got a gazillion different things going on. I think even Blockhouse Steeplechase is running this coming weekend.
Okay, well, that could be the case, and that's not a big loss. It's just, first pass failed, second pass comes up next. Until we find a date that's good enough that plenty of people can attend.
When the major field day is, because that's always hot, sticky, and really hard to deal with. And a mini field day helps you get all of your equipment working again and making sure everything that you want to try works.
W4DJW. That's the same thing here. I used to have that equipment really working. I could take out the flex radio and the laptop and a mystery antenna and the big slingshot, and I could be up in a half hour communicating on any HF band. And it was that was fun. Even put the tent up and all that stuff, and even had air conditioning running out there in the tent. Although on the really, really hot days, it didn't work. But that was fun. Those were the good old days. And maybe we can bring those back again. I don't know. But we won't if we don't try.
And what, a year or 2 years ago, the last quote-unquote official field day we actually did, that totally fell apart. I actually had three Raspberry Pis, all with PoE hats on it, running an open-source logging program. That I had actually made into a multi-user logging program because somebody else had made the single-user version. And, at least in the home lab, it worked great, but we get out to the field, nobody showed up. So there was no point in even doing it. All the club had to provide was a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse. And, but I still got that software. It's in my Git somewhere. So it's still available.
Well, that's good. bring it out. Let's see what, I mean, if we can do it. I mean, it, and I don't know. I've got a lot of people responded that they, more responded that they couldn't than responded that they could. So, so far it's not looking so good. But that's okay. I mean, it's, we'll try again, right? We'll bring it back up at the next club meeting. We'll try for another date. They say on that Kraken SDR that they've already got all the parts that they need to build 1,000. So that means you can pretty much just buy one, right?
As far as the logging software goes, I have the software. I don't have the Raspberry Pis anymore. They've all been dedicated to something else, so they can't buy any more Pis. So, you know, minor detail. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I have been considering that Kraken and getting it set up at my house and seeing what I can see.
Well, back during COVID, I bought a whole bunch of Raspberry Pi 4s, and when the 8 gigabytes came out, I got like 10 more, I think. So I've got, I had 96 CPUs crunching for COVID folding proteins, and they were running 24/7/365, and they were making a lot of points on the distributed computing competition using what's the name of that software? You know that. You know what I'm talking about? That starts with a B. Bionic.
That's a lot like. So that actually took them all. Yeah, because that's actually what I'm standardizing on. Because I'm putting Raspberry Pis in for work projects, and I'm standardized on the 8 gig version. Because I usually have at least 7 programs that are in some state of running. But I tell you, I'm actually looking at an Intel i5, like one of the Nooks or something, because I have a database that I need to do a lot of heavy duty processing on, and the Pi just cannot keep up.
Well, I was amazed at how well. So here's the thing: I had several old laptops that, in their prime, they were like top of the line laptops. Each of them, some of them had 2 cores, some of them had a single core. A single Raspberry Pi, 8 gig, Pi 4, when it's tuned using a 64-bit operating system, was more productive than 4 of those combined. 4 of those couldn't keep up with 1 Raspberry Pi. So that Raspberry Pi can, now you got to keep a fan blowing on it. If you don't keep a fan blowing on it, it'll burn up. It'll burn itself up. Got to have, good cooling plus fans and everything set up. And I was approaching the top runners over there on the Bionic site. I mean, I was catching up with the guys that were on the last page, right? The ones that were business administrators and had hundreds of PCs that they managed, and they organized those PCs to crunch numbers at nighttime. So, and I did it with 96 Raspberry Pi CPUs, and some of them had 4 gigs of memory, and some of them had 8 gigs of memory. So it's pretty powerful. I think the only thing in that footprint that's going to be more powerful is the NVIDIA's, what's the NVIDIA that has 2,200 CUDA cores? What's that little one, that little NVIDIA, you know what I'm talking about?
And to be honest, I think my biggest problem with the database thing is, USB 3. I need something faster than USB 3.
So you couldn't use the network? Because the network is going to be a lot faster than USB 3.
That's a possibility. I mean, it's I don't know, because, they only have 10/100 on the network. USB 3 is what? 200 megabits?
I was going with gigabit network. I used to use USB 2, but I switched over to gigabit network, and I have not been, the 10/100, yeah, you can overload that with 1 SDR radio. But the gigabit network, that's hard to overload.
It gives you 10/100.
No, the Pi 4 gives you gigabit network. You got gigabit network on all Pi 4s, or gigabit network.
I didn't realize that. I should move it to a different port on my switch then, because I do have, got like 8 ports on my switch that are gigabit.
Yeah, I switched everything over to gigabit. I had to with doing all that protein folding because they were uploading gigabytes of data each, all day, every day. So, and I had to upgrade my my charter network connection to be able to keep up with those 96 CPUs. And I had to put big cooling fans on a dedicated desktop, you know, in the airplane room where I didn't have to listen to it whine all day long, all those fans running. And it would heat that whole room up. And that room heated the upstairs from those 96 Pi CPUs. That heated the upstairs of the house for those two winters of COVID.
Maybe I'll try that route because, like I said, you know, I got a little solid state drive that's plugged in at USB 3, and, you know, the database just sits there and thrashes the hard drive. I increased the swap, but it's still, you know, I can be running my all four cores at 100%, and the path to the database is just, on the solid state drive, is just bad. It's totally saturated.
So have you switched off of physical hard drives onto NVMe? You know, they'll write like 3 gigabytes a second.
But it's coming in over the USB 3 connector. That's how it's interfacing to the Raspberry Pi.
Okay, so you got a different bottleneck. It's not your hard drive that's your bottleneck. Okay, I get it. Go through the network. Eliminate that bottleneck. Yeah, I didn't have anything plugged into any of the USB connectors. I didn't have an SD card on any of them. They all booted through the network. And I had an NVMe on an old Dell server. So that Dell server had an NVIDIA card. It was crunching numbers. And it was serving up all of the operating systems for 24 different Raspberry Pis. So they would all go to it to get their OS, and then they would boot up off of the network. And then they, all of their work units that they completed would finish on the NVMe that was on the old Dell server. And everything going through the gigabit network, nothing ever got jammed up. They would run for months without any attention. W4DJW.
I should actually have them all network booting. But one of the qualifications for the project that is thrashing the database is that it has to be off-grid and portable. That's the whole, because basically it's got all of North America OpenStreetMap is what the database is, and as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. So I got to find a better solution than, I mean, maybe there's a way I can do a network drive that runs off of 12 volts and work it that way. So I'll have to explore that. Thank you for mentioning that.
So I was watching that little bar go up and down while you were talking, and I think I had to do this with my RTL SDR on Windows when I was running SDR Sharp. There's an offset correction. There's a correction factor for PP, parts per million, right? Samples per million I think once I go up to 146, I'm probably off by a little bit, because when I tell it to listen to 146.61E6, it says it's listening to 146.910 megahertz. Do you remember how you correct for that? There's a correction factor, and it's not linear.
Remember what the actual correction factor is. Driving down the road, it's something I'd have to look up.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go read up on this Kraken, and I'm going to see if I can get this thing listening on other frequencies with that correction factor. That's going to be fun. And I'm keeping my eye out on when they're going to come out. What are they going to come out with in 2023 when the Pi Foundation actually starts producing again? I hate it. Well, I went looking for them. I was going to buy another handful of W0s or 0Ws, and nothing. I think you can find them on Amazon for like $200 a piece. That's crazy. That's a $5 computer.
Money for those. Well, I'm hoping the Raspberry Pi will give us like 2 lanes of PCIe, so we can actually put the NVMe drives directly on the Raspberry Pi board. That would be ideal. And it'd also be ideal if they would just let us have a, you know, 9 to 48 volt or 9 to 16 volt DC right on the board. That'd be great.
Yeah, I tried the PCI bus, ePCI. It didn't work. I guess that compute card has it. But, yeah, that would be nice. That would be really, really nice to get that speed up so that you can run NVMe right there on the Raspberry Pi. If I could have had that, I wouldn't have needed that Dell server. I could have just dedicated one of the nodes to be the master for all of the other slaves, and that would have worked. Anyway, I'm going to let you go so I can go study this, learn more about this Kraken SDR, and key up the repeater more often. It's good to hear you on here. You don't need to be rare DX. KJ4CTED, W4DJW.
Yeah, okay. You have a good afternoon, and I'll probably be mobile here again in another couple of hours. KJ4CTED, mobile.